Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop. We'll kick off today in the Nations League. France in action, and they're impressive against Austria. It was only 2-0. It could have been a lot more. They had so many chances. Great individual goal from Kylian Mbappe, and then 10 minutes later, it'd be Olivier Giroud who would make it 2. For more on this, let's welcome in Shaun Marion Malkiot with us, as is Frank Leboeuf. Frank, this was comfortable, really, from your boys, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's nice in the middle of big problems, you know, coming from the federation and all around, you know, what's going on with the national team. So it was refreshing to see a little bit of football and I would say good football against, I have to admit, not a very fantastic Austrian team. But they did the job. They were entertaining. But again, it seems to be a curse that I think we can count off 11 players injured. Players should be on the field. But the players were there, did the job. Fofana, Tchouaméni, and of course Giroud with another goal. And the big star Mbappe.
Well, let's talk a little more about Kylian Mbappe, of course, made headlines this week for not appearing at a sponsored event, of course, part of the French national team, being called up. You have to go and do these sponsors' pictures. It's an agreement between the players and the federation. He apparently, Frank, launched a complaint in March about this. He didn't want to be associated with some of the products that were sponsored, France. He then refused to do the photo shoot on Monday. There was a big meeting on Tuesday. Then he went ahead with it. I'm just wondering, just from your point of view, of course, has been through all of this. What do you make of Mbappe's decision and the way he went about expressing it?
Well, I understand what he wanted to do, and it's a convention between the players and the French Federation, which appeared in 2010, I think. So I never been involved with that because I was already retired from the French national team. But we had some time, you know, picture that we had to take, not all the players, but some of the players, and something wasn't very clear. I was said, and I've been told, and I think the Mbappe clan wanted to clarify that and to change it, which is normal because it wasn't really legal from the French Federation. So the French Federation changed everything, I think, accepted Mbappe's demand, and everything seems to be clear. At least one thing is clear now, and we'll know next time there are pictures that we'll know if Mbappe is happy and if he comes and show up to do the pictures.
Why is it Mbappe that's leading this? Why is it Hugo Lloris, your captain? Why does it take Mbappe to make a stand against this?
That I don't know. The only thing I know is that he doesn't get that money. He gives to charities. It's why maybe he felt free to talk, while maybe the others, they get the money and don't talk about it. But it's more, let's say, a clan decision. His father, his mother, lawyers, agents, managers, you know, it's a big firm. And Mbappe, I guess, doesn't decide for everything. But I think it's to make the point that you have to resolve something. Somebody is a leader and Mbappe is one of them. And he talked. And he was right. In the case that he was defending, he was right to dispute the French Federation and to make sure they clarify the situation and they make it legal.
How have the fans dealt with all of this, Frank? Where does he stand in their regard at the moment?
Well, he's a legend already. People love him. People who don't really know football don't really care what they see. And they're going to only see tomorrow is that Mbappe scored again. That's the only thing matters to them. For, let's say, the others, the specialists, it's more that Mbappe being too selfish on the field, Mbappe being too much involved outside of the field. It's not what I think. It's what I think for the first part, where, especially for PSG, sometimes he has to see around what's going on, and you can get bigger sharing goals with and assisting goals to others, for like Neymar and Messi, the last game that he played. But otherwise, I think he's a guy who knows his status, he knows what he has to do, and people who like him will like him even more because we feel that he's really involved to make sure that football in France will evolve and be better. For the others, people will think he's is too young to talk, let's say, they will keep on criticizing him, which I think that's clearly a French aspect of our culture. When we have somebody with at the top, we definitely have to make sure he goes down because we don't like it. That's part of envious, jealousy, whatever we want to call it. I love the guy and I want to defend him.
Mario, you're nodding away.
Yeah, because what Frank actually said, that last part, yeah, it's so crucial because in Holland, it's identical. You know, as soon as you lead the way, they want to chop your head off. And sometimes I feel like in France, it's the same what's happening to him. Look, if someone would ask me, would I prefer Mbappe to do it before the game was on? Oh, yeah, of course. But clearly, he couldn't do it because they didn't respond to him. So that's why he did it while it was during the game. But away from that, why would a player not stand up and question whatever is happening, what was the past, and he wanted to have it renewed? I'm not saying like, you know, like, oh, I've been in the situation, I know exactly what's going on. No, I don't know what's going on. But it's clearly, no, I agree with that. Sometimes you can question it, eh, if you don't agree with it. And that's what he's doing because the rest wasn't doing it.
I understand, and I sympathize with Mbappe and him taking the lead. If you have an agreement with the French Federation to at least address this back in March and nothing is done up until now, mm-hmm. then you're absolutely right to use this opportunity right before an international game to make that point. As players, especially when it comes to national associations, you have a really small window to make an impact because you don't get together so often. So right before international games, absolutely is the right time. And now, let me just state this disclaimer straight off the top. I don't fully understand players' rights and the image rights issue that has become so prominent in today's game. So my understanding of it from back in our day is if you have three or more players, then those rights belong to the Federation. If it's any less, then it's the players who have control of those image rights. Now, the concern here for me, and while, again, I fully sympathize with Mbappe and who he is aligned with, or who, in this instance, French football, or what companies they are aligned with. And the concern for me is that as you go further, that you find mm-hmm. yourself in this position where you have to contradict yourself.
Right.
Where all the good that you are trying to do ends up just feeling a little bit empty. Now, for argument's sake, Kylian Mbappe wears Nike. Let's say that France go on and win the World Cup, and now as part of that World Cup winning team, you are part of commercials for Adidas, for McDonald's, for Budweiser, who are all major sponsors of FIFA. Mm-hmm. Now, you are making this stand against companies, against products with France, but then you win the World Cup and you have to be subject to being a part of those campaigns. And that's where the contradiction might come back to haunt him. Now, I say that without fully understanding it because it just wasn't a thing in our day. But you've seen this happen time and time again, even back from our day, when you had so many beer sponsors in English football and you had players coming out and speaking out about where they were gambling or beer or whatever, but then they had the emblems blazed across the front of their club shirts. And that, for me, is where it always gets a little bit tricky.
Frank, let's just talk about France overall, because there's just so many problems that Deschamps is trying to sort out going into the start of the World Cup, which is, just 2 months away. What's your biggest concern with this French side looking ahead to defending the title?
I'm concerned because, you have to try to sort all the problems out, but at the same time, you know, in I think it was 1992 for the European Championship, 2002 for the World Cup, 2 years ago, 2021 for the European Championship, everybody made clearly France favorite to win the competition, and it always been a disaster. So when in a perfect world, when everything worked well for France, it never works. But when we have issues, concerns, problems, well, we become champion of the world in 98 with a bad French national team before. That is what the press and the media said. When in 2018 everything was but perfect. They won the World Cup and at so many times, like the Italians, they did in 2006 or in 82 with so many problems. I think Latin people need to be in deep problems to be better, maybe, and to make it to make the impossible being possible. And it's what it happened. So I'm concerned, but I know that the character and the personality of the players can allow them to dream of the impossible, which is, again, winning the World Cup.
When you think of problems at World Cup and in fighting, you automatically think of the Dutch, though, don't you, Mary? You're very much the kings of that.
Look! I wasn't in the team at the time, but I was definitely part of the I came after. And I think what we have, the Dutch, you know what the thing is? We are definitely a country that allows players to have the conversation with the coach or whatever it is. That's why I jumped in that situation where you were talking about Mbappe. But going on, we definitely have the conversation. What we do normally, we have a board, we have a group, and we talk about it and some agreements and some disagreements. But away from that, when this happened in the national team, it was an interesting thing because they said that we had two camps. As soon as they mentioned the two camps, it really boiled over and it became a big fight. Okay, eventually we stepped down. There was a lot of things, you know, sidetracking of it. And then it calmed down and everybody went back to his club. And then other things spiked down. But what the key thing was, I think, for Holland to come back on track was that everybody had to respect each other again. And I think that is by winning. I've never won it. I mean, Frank is clearly there, so he can talk about it. But I think when you among players that want to win a big tournament like that, you all got to respect each other, have the same objective, and the coach got to be strong enough to keep you together. And I think that's why the fight in Holland happened, because they didn't have that.
Mario, Xhaka has them as third favourites going into the World Cup. Where would you have France?
Third favourite? Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind that, but no, I would not give them third favorite. I drop them one because of the situation there. I give them fourth.
Ah, there you go.
Well, who's the first three, Mario? Who do you have as one, two, and three?
Holland. No. Hey, listen, I told you already before. God touched me because I'm a Dutchman. But if he didn't touch me, I wouldn't mind Brazilian or Argentinian. You see?
Right.
So, okay. Brazil, I give Brazil maybe one. I give Argentina, I have to put up there, man. Maradona will always be my hero. Then who else do I'm going to have? You know why I put Argentina there? Because I feel like as a team, people don't talk about them, but they're much best. And the Germans got to be always up there. The Germans, you cannot leave them out. Come on, whoever leaves Germans
who's
out
third?
Is crazy.
Who's third, Mario?
He's got Germany, Argentina, Brazil, and Germany.
Oh, did you say Germany?
Yeah. Hey, what about England, Mario?
Yeah, come on now. Hey, look, I love your country, but no, my friend.
Frank, where would you have France?
And well, right now, with 11 players injured, in case they don't come back, I'm not sure they can be put third. Definitely Brazil first. Then I agree with the guys, you know, Germany has to be put in the first five. But I don't know, France can be, of course, champion of the world again. And the talent and the players, if they are all in good shape, is definitely there and they can do it again, let's say. Third, I think, is a good position, and I agree with Xhaka, because of course you have to, we also agree that Argentina, especially for Messi, needs to do something special. So I'm okay with the third position. Right now, no, but if they have the players back in shape, yeah, for sure.
Elsewhere then in France's group, we saw Croatia beat Denmark by 2-1 to go top of the group. Well, just a reminder, plenty of content over on our ESPN FC channel on YouTube. We're up to 1.7 million subscribers. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The Dutch beat Poland on Thursday by 2-0. We saw Gakpo score early on. Nice finish from Bergwijn. Memphis Depay, though, would be taken off injured. For more on this, let's welcome in Mario, who is still with us. Mario, good result?
Yes, great result. They played well. I think the first goal, you know, like Saka said it, the way they moved, It's exactly how Dutch football wants to be, you know, like it's the man, it's the third man move, right? It's like not the one on the ball, it's not the one that gets the ball after, but it's the third one that receives it, because that's the hardest man to mark. Puts him in, you know, like it was Dumfries, and then the way he squared it and the goal, everybody talked about it in Holland, everybody loves it because that's how they want to play all the time. It's not working all the time, but it's definitely what they wanted. Also, what they focused on, not conceding. Conceding was one of the biggest things for Holland. You know, like, they beat Belgium 4-1, conceded one goal. They beat them, Wales 2-1, conceded again. Then a draw against Poland before 2-2. So Van Gaal said, let's focus on not conceding, guys, because we concede too many goals. And he focused on that, changed the whole momentum of the game. He wanted them to press forward. That's what he said. He said, I expect you to press forward. And he said that he wants to make sure they don't concede. They had one great chance on Poland because Milik came on. He should have scored that goal. One-on-one with the goalkeeper, and he should have tapped it in, but he tapped it. I think it was over. But anyway, he missed it. And away from that, I think they got the result they wanted, and they really took that game, regardless if Lewandowski was playing, because that's what Van Gaal mentioned it. And I think they won the game how they should have won it.
If we return to Xhaka's World Cup power rankings, Xhaka has the Dutch as ninth favourites, Mario, to go and win it all. Would you say that's fair?
The nine. You know what? You know what, Shah? You look, I would agree with you the way everything is going in Holland, but Louis van Gaal is a man full of surprises. His intelligence of football, if it comes across the way it should be, I would literally put them up. I would swap them with England.
What?
But if that is... Yeah, I will swap them in England. Just for the surprise.
You'd have them like fourth favourites.
Yeah, you know why I'm saying that to you? I'm not saying that
you're biased.
To you because I... No. you're English and you're telling me I'm biased. No, listen, you know why? Because I feel Van Gaal is... It's almost like Pinocchio and Geppetto. If he can play the Geppetto well, and the guys, he puts them at the good positions, he can make some surprises. I will do that. I would put Holland a little bit higher than that. Maybe give them, that's a difficult one. Six maybe, okay. But England would definitely not be four, but six I would, because I would, the one I already called the group before, and I would put them higher than what they are now.
The bookies, when you take a look at it, have England second. Meanwhile, the Dutch are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The bookies have you at eighth position as well. So it's not just Xhaka, Mario, who seems anti-Dutch.
I don't care what the bookies are saying. I care what Xhaka is saying, but I don't care what the bookies are saying. Chaka, this time I care what you say. No, I'm going, Holland is going to mess things up, and I feel like Louis van Gaal, this is his last journey, and Van Dijk maybe his last journey too. Do you understand that a lot of people don't know, but Van Dijk is maybe is on his last World Cup. And I think Holland wants to upset, you know, like, they got to do it. One day you got to come up. We've never won it. Come on, guys. We got to do some surprises.
Yeah, but you're up against a team like England. we saw Depay obviously limp off, Mario, and it's tough, isn't it, for him at the moment. In a sense, he's not getting the minutes that he would have expected initially when he made that move to Barcelona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a tough one. You look, what happened? He felt his hamstring. The good part about him is that he felt it himself and he could walk off. And we all know when hamstrings pull in, you know, there are two types. The one that you cannot walk anymore or the one that you ride on time and say, I feel something. And I think he was on I feel something moment and not exactly from like, oh, it pulled. I think he felt something. I don't expect him to be fit for the coming game that's coming up. But clearly, it's not going to be like extraordinary a long time or whatever. I think he should be okay soon.
Mario, we'll say thank you very much, as always, for being here. Meanwhile, let's check out what else happened today. Belgium taking on Wales. Gareth Bale started on the bench for Wales in this game. Still a bit jet-lagged, huh?
Yeah, understandably.
See him there with Eden Hazard. We've chatted to Courtois as well, of course, his former Real Madrid teammate. Shaka, you had Belgium low down in your power rankings.
Yeah.
But when you have a player who is as good as Kevin De Bruyne on his day, he can help you beat anyone, can't he?
Yes, but my issue with the Belgians is I just feel more and more this team revolves solely around Kevin De Bruyne. I don't feel he's getting the kind of support that he did in previous years from Eden Hazard and others around him. I just feel that for too many, outside of De Bruyne and Courtois, it feels like a fading star. A lot about this Belgian team just feels like it's fading.
So Belgium then with the victory. Let's just take a look, shall we, at how their group stands. As say, after taking all 3 points against Wales, you take a look at how A4 looks. Belgium, with those 3 points, you can just take a look at the table. There it is. Now they are 3 points clear. Oh, sorry, the Dutch are 3 points clear of Belgium in second. Of course, a two-horse race as to who is going to win that group. Wales very much facing relegation. Well, Mario and Frank will be back for extra time to answer some of your questions. Frank has, tells us what he's been up to tonight, eating for free at the Eiffel Tower. What a hard life.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A couple of World Cup warm-ups for the US men ahead of the World Cup, which of course kicks off in November. On Friday, they're in action against Japan in Germany. Well, speaking ahead of the game, Greg Berhalter was asked about the mentality and body language of Christian Pulisic since the sacking of Thomas Tuchel.
He was determined to fight regardless who was coach, and that was in his mind. And you know, that shows how much he's grown, because you know, the cards might have been against them, stacked against them, but he was okay. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to fight, and I'm eventually going to get on the field. And that was great to hear from him. And now with a new coach, I think it's a new opportunity for everyone, not just Christian. You know, every player in the squad has to show this new coach that they should be on the field. So again, he'll embrace that like he's embraced all the other stuff.
Well, Alexis Nunes is in Dusseldorf with the US team. Alexis, am I right in thinking that it should have been Pulisic at the press conference today as well?
Yeah, Dan, you are absolutely right. I mean, when we came here, we were promised a very exclusive kind of roundtable chat, so to speak, kind of exclusive access as well, being the fact that we're right holders. We knew that, you know, Greg Berhalter was going to be a part. And we thought Christian Pulisic too, but at the last minute, they came in and said, look, Christian's not available for this anymore. Instead, you're going to get Weston McKinney, who still spoke very well about... able to see Christian Pulisic, you know, hanging in and around the hotel. I went to have a chat with a good friend of ESPN in Tyler Adams as well, and Christian was with him momentarily. But earlier today, you know, we saw some images of him showing up at training, and everyone was kind of having a good time joking around, and he was a bit frigid or looked a bit pensive or distracted, so to speak. And, you know, I think it does have something to do with the fact that since his book came out, he has received quite a bit of flack from the Chelsea fans, you know, coming from London, as I just did yesterday. They were kind of split down the middle, some understanding his frustration under Thomas Tuchel and the others saying, well, you know, does he really have a leg to stand on? Because when he has been giving chances, I suppose Chelsea fans are still saying that they've expected a bit more from him, this, you know, Captain America that everyone has been talking about, the USA's quote-unquote Leo Messi. We've heard that, you know, comparison so many times. And, you know, I remember speaking to Greg Berhalter earlier on this year at the FIFA World Cup draw in Qatar, and we spoke about the anxiety and sort of pressure that Pulisic has felt, you know, in being this leader of the USA's team, as well as even trying to step up for Chelsea. And he's still so young, and he's still kind of dealing with it, so to speak. So I think he was taken off to sort of shield him from some of the questions that were coming their way, because he definitely, since his quotes about his situation under Thomas Tuchel and those Champions League matches where he expected to have a lot more playing time came out, I think a lot of them have had him in the firing line. But since then, you know, everyone has continued talking about it. But for the most part, Greg Berhalter said that he is focused. He's just focused on the game tomorrow. He knows his role. He knows his leadership in this team. So for now, it seems so good, and it doesn't seem to be at least 100% getting to him.
Well, let's talk about that game tomorrow in a little more detail, Alexis. Of course, one of the big question marks going into the World Cup in November is who is going to be the number one goalkeeper for the US. We know that Zach Steffen, of course, won't feature in that clash against Japan. So it will be Matt Turner who's starting.
And that's exactly what we're hearing. And it's such an interesting situation for the USA to have. You know, we were talking to all of the journalists that were there today. And, you know, when you come for a USA team in at least the last two decades, one position that has always been easy to pick, you know, whether it has been our friend Casey Keller or Tim Howard, you know, or Brad Guzan, any one of them, it has been the goalkeeper, you know. And now they've kind of been stuck between a rock and a hard place, because you want to solidify that decision. And of course, we get the feeling that Zach Steffen is definitely going to be the preferred goalkeeper. He's going to be the number one. But then when you look at his recent stats, he didn't 100% impress in his stints at Manchester City. Now he's on loan at Middlesbrough. But even then, he's had 6 appearances for Middlesbrough and let in 9 goals. And then he's been out for 4 matches with a knee injury. So they're wondering, do you bank on him based on this? And a lot of people questioning, you know, where he's playing right now. And then of course you have Matt Turner, who has impressed so far in the summer when he's filled in for the USA, but then he's only had 1 appearance in his Arsenal shirt. So do you go into a World Cup where you have a group with the likes of Gareth Bale and Wales and of course England, and you know you have that big match against England coming up, and you're hoping people like Zach Steffen is used to playing against a lot of these England players, but then Matt not necessarily having that much experience? It's like, who do you go with? So it's a very tricky position that the USA find themselves in, because they look almost spoiled for choice in every other decision. And, you know, even Greg Berhalter says that it does give him a headache at night choosing all his attacking players as well. But in goalkeeping, it really has everyone scratching their head. But it looks like it will be Matt Turner tomorrow for Japan.
I'm not going to ask you how big a problem it is, Shaq, because it is a big problem.
It's a huge problem.
What's the issue with not playing? Or where does it affect the goalkeeper the most?
You miss out on your match sharpness, not just in terms of your reaction and just kind of general game play, but in terms of reading the game, in terms of anticipating and just finding that focus. And as Alexis points out, so many of the goalkeepers who you thought were equipped to go to serve the US in a World Cup have not played or have not played that well. And now Berhalter has a huge issue on his hands. For me, and Alexis mentioned them, the two most talented American goalkeepers are Zach Steffen and Matt Turner. Steffen having his struggles, Matt Turner not playing. Ethan Horvath, who's also filled in, he's been getting minutes, albeit, but with Luton, mid-table championship Luton. Is Sean Johnson the option? And nothing really jumps out. And Alexis is right to point out that the one department the US has always been consistently well represented in is between the sticks.
Sure.
And yes, you always had big shoes to fill. Once Tim Howard hung up his own gloves. And you wanted to feel that Zach Steffen or Matt Turner could have done that, but they needed to have significant minutes, and now they're not. Interestingly enough, I went back to look at US last appearance at a World Cup, 2014. Tim Howard's last performance at the World Cup level was that game against Belgium.
Where he made a million saves.
He rewrote all kinds of records. And now, in the US national team's first appearance since that, you have absolutely no idea.
No.
How do you follow that on? You know, how do you go from that to where we are now, some 8.5 years later?
And finally, Alexis, of course, it's not only in goal there's question marks, also up front as well. Who will play as Greg Berhalter's number 9? Josh Sargent, of course, has been on fire for Norwich in the Championship so far this season. We'll expect him to feature for sure tomorrow.
Yeah, everyone was asking, about Sargent, because he has been massively impressive so far for Norwich. And Greg did say that now he has all the reason to tune into all of these Norwich games. But when you're talking about, the US's attack, I suppose, and you're wondering who will be up there with Christian Pulisic and maybe Gio Reyna, or if you put Gio Reyna, I suppose, in a midfield role, there are some other names that are being floated about as well. Union Berlin's Jordan Pifok, he's not even been called up now, but he's so highly rated by so many people. And Greg did admit that he is still keeping his eye on him. And another one, the 21-year-old Jesus Ferreira, we saw him as well today. He's enjoying an unbelievable season in MLS with FC Dallas, scoring about 18 goals in his 33 appearances. And he has spoken so much about having to go and seek a mental game, to prepare him for this World Cup. And now everyone has touted him to be the main one to go into this World Cup and be ready for that position. So Sargent, yes, is definitely looking good, but there's a lot of others waiting in the wings that now they're spoiled for choice as well.
Alexis, as always, thank you very much. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Just a reminder, in the US taking on Japan, it's an early start, 8 a.m. Eastern, that game live on ESPN2. And straight after that, there will be a special edition of Football Americas. Be sure to join 7Herd to get their reaction on the full-time whistle. That's at 10:30 tomorrow here on Plus. Now, we've discussed this quite a bit over the last couple of days, haven't we? But Mario and Frank are back with us. I just wanted to go over it again with their Chelsea ways. Just a reminder, this is what Christian Pulisic is going to say in his book that drops next month. Tuchel told me that he was resting me for the second leg, and as a result, I didn't play a single minute in the Fulham game. Then on match day of the second semi, Tuchel tells me he's changing his mind and he's going with Kai Havertz. I honestly was dumbfounded and very disappointed. I thought I'd earned a start, and more importantly, he had assured me previously I was going to start. So as promised, Frank and Mario are here. Frank, do you want to discuss the quote or the fact that he's putting out a book next month?
uh,
Well, we can talk about both, but yes, I don't know why he's putting out a book. I guess, I don't know, he wants to copy me, I guess. It's why he wants to put a book out. But,
no, I think people will read this one.
Yeah, some people are going to read that one, yeah, at least. But really, I don't really understand, you know, until you didn't finish your career and you can make a statement, maybe then you can write a book. But during your career, you know, make sure that you focus on what you have to do and not complaining about something. Because maybe one day, you never know, maybe Monday, Tuchel can call him and say, okay, I want you. You never know. So you never know the story. And I don't know why he's saying that, because nobody remembered that. I don't remember that game against Fulham that he didn't play, that he should have played. And at the end of the day, it's like a complaint for himself, because we don't care. We don't really care about him, except maybe his parents, himself. But everybody can say a story like that. I can say a story about Ruud Gullit or Gianluca Cavalli or Aimé Jacquet, who say, well, you know, you're going to play and you stay on the bench. And, you know, I changed my mind. That's part of the thing. The coach has a feeling and he has a right to change his mind. A promise in football doesn't stand a day because of human characteristic and what can happen in the coach's head. So I don't understand that, why he made that comment. The point of that, for me, it's useless.
Mario, what do you think?
No, I totally agree. I think, you know, when you're still playing football, you can always become, like what Frank just said, it could be a coach again. Why would you make that comment? Because in the future, if there's something happens, let's say he doesn't want to play for him now anymore, keep it to yourself, because in the future, you don't know. Let's say Tuchel is the coach of a team that's the only club that you want to go to. No, now you're not going to go because he's there? No, you set your center. On the other part, I understand his pain and his way of thinking, I 100% agree with. I had that too. Frank had it too. Saka had it too. I'm sure, you know, every footballer in the world, if he tells me that he never had a coach that promised him something and didn't come true, he's crazy. If he says, like, oh, no, it didn't happen. No, that's funny. So on that scale, I feel like he's talking about something that really happened. But I felt like in this situation, and he's a smart kid, I would expect him to be a little bit more clever in this and say, like, okay, this tactical move, I should not make it. So let me just keep down. Because now in England, people are going to talk, and they are talking, and saying, like, yeah, but are you the figurehead that really moves the team that much? At that point, it's so long ago, they might go, like, no, we want it, and what do we care about? And that is one of the things that he should be worried about. But he's a great player. Why would you go through this? Go, you know, like, let's focus on what's coming now. You're playing in a team now. Get yourself in the starting 11. And he's a new coach. You don't want to give him no spices to change his mind. Play, because if not, coaches start looking at you thinking, like, oh, this guy's probably going to talk about me when he leaves.
Yeah, Frank, how will this go down in the dressing room? Will the players care about this stuff?
Well, I would have been his teammate. I would have come to him and I say, well, why are you whining about, you know? And why do you think, you know, Tuchel should consider you more than the others? I mean, Tuchel took played him in Dortmund and then played him in Chelsea. But if everybody does that, you create a big mess, and you can create jealousy. Why did he promise you that you're gonna play where he told me the same thing? So you can create problems, you know. And again, it doesn't interest many people. Maybe the close family or whatever. We can take consideration about that. But in the dressing room, the guy would be considered as somebody again whining about small things.
You know, the more I see the statement from Christian Pulisic, the more I am amazed that he's talking about not last season, the season before.
When they won the Champions League.
When Chelsea won the Champions League. That everything about this statement makes more sense if we were talking about last season.
Right.
But nothing about it. How do you come out and criticize a coach for decisions he made in winning a title? That, you know, and as Mario pointed out, as everybody pointed out yesterday, these things happen more than any of us would care to mention.
Right.
It's a part of the game. But it becomes valid when it doesn't work. When it works, Tuca got it right.
Yeah.
And you cannot, you can't try to change that narrative. And so it makes less and less sense. The more I see it, the less sense it makes.
Speaking of things that make less sense, the podcast, as always, is available over on the website. Not only do you have the show, but you have bonus material there as well. Be sure to go over there and check it out.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Don't forget tomorrow, of course, the US men in action against Japan. Nice bit of breakfast to watch that. And then you've got Football Americas straight after Live On Plus. Stay tuned for now, though, because Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweet. Shaka with me here in the studio. Frank LeBeuf, who's just... We had to wait a little bit for Frank to finish dinner.
Well,
who are you having dinner with tonight, Frank?
Well, now it's late, but we had a dinner at the Eiffel Tower on top... Ooh. Not on top, but on the first floor of the Eiffel Tower. And I was with some artists, and especially a big chef. He's a friend of mine. He's called Thierry Marx. He has lots of restaurants, third stars, Michelin. And I have to say that I was watching the French national team game while I was having the dinner. So I was hiding my phone and pretending that I was fully listening to my to the other guest while I was watching the game. But it was nice.
What,
it was nice.
What a life, Frank LeBeuf. Dinner in the Eiffel Tower. What was the highlight? Frank, the food.
Oh, that was great. We had some foie gras in starter, then we had some lobster, and then a little bit of fish, and we had a pavlova dessert with some meringue, so and some red wine from Bourgogne, some Mercury red wine, Bourgogne, of course, with champagne to start with.
Wow, fantastic. Was it free?
Excuse me?
Was it free?
Of course it's free!
I don't pay for anything!
Where's the invite? How do I get on that gig?
Oh, brilliant! And what are you in shorts,
you know,
Frank?
I spent one night in the restaurant, not that one, but the one above, for five people, and I paid that day, I paid that night. It cost me €1,500 the dinner.
Wow.
That's pretty expensive. So I was happy tonight to have free dinner.
Yeah, no, that's all right. So you're off having posh dinners. Meanwhile, anyone who follows Mario on Instagram, do you follow Mario on
Instagram? No. No, Mario's on Instagram.
What's interesting on Mario's Instagram, he has a lot of pedicures. Is this a daily routine? Mario, I feel like I see your feet.
Listen. Hey, listen, if a man don't go to a spa, pedicure, hiking, sport... Guys, listen, we got to do all the things we couldn't do when we were playing football. Now I enjoy my life. Allow me to enjoy.
No, you can definitely enjoy it. It just seems excessive pedicure.
You're enjoying it too much.
Look at Chaka. Hey, I will never stop Chaka. I keep going. Listen, wait, before we talk, you know that where me and Frank come from, if you saw our training ground, trust me, this is luxury now. Where we came from, Frank, I came into the door and I saw Frank sitting. I was like, is this a box or something we're in? Yeah. And now it's all on you.
Yeah, back in the days, back in the old Chelsea days. Right, let's talk soccer ball. Xhaka, how are Denmark and Senegal in your World Cup power rankings and not Portugal? It seems very disrespectful considering their squad has Diaz, Cancelo, Ronaldo, Bruno, Jota, Felix, Mendes and Silva. Got a point.
He does.
Ooh.
Next time.
Did you forget about Portugal?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
That's why you don't get invited to the Eiffel Tower.
That's why?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so if I put Portugal in my power ranking,
right,
I get invited to the Eiffel Tower.
Wow. Okay, Mario.
Of course.
Early prediction. Yeah. Who do you think wins the Golden Ball, the Golden Boot, and the Best Young Player for the World Cup?
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, okay, the Best Young Player. I mean, Golden Boot, I go for Mbappe. He's definitely going to be scoring. The Best Young Player, I mean, can he scoop that still up? Because I give that to him too.
Oh, is he, no, 23? That's not young.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, you can't. I don't know if you can still get it. The Best Player over the tournament. Whew. Hey, guys, you're testing me there, man. Oh, man. Yeah. How about I just give it to a classic player? I call a Benzema out and just say, like, hey, he's going to be firing again.
No, young player. Young player. Not 35 years old.
Best old player.
Best player. Best player. I said best old player. Best old player.
Best old player. Best old player.
Okay. Oh, you see, nice. Frank, why are you testing me like that? Now my head is cracking, man. I think I said enough, guys. I gave you two already.
For Dan Thomas, who is the most difficult pundit you've ever worked with? Pele, useless.
Not because of him, but because of you.
No, nothing to do. It was a brilliant interview. He ruined it.
Oh, yeah.
He ruined it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Sure. Mario, Van Dijk and De Ligt have had rough starts to their season. Memphis is on the bench and Frankie is not a regular. Despite this, do all of these players have a guaranteed spot in the starting 11 in the World Cup?
Yes. If you look at Van Dijk, he's the captain. He definitely has to bring the peace and the ease into the team. The only thing that Van Gaal jumped on today, it was that he didn't want them to concede, playing against top strikers like Lovadeski and Milik. Camila came on afterwards. But when you look at, that's one of the key things. And Van Dijk didn't even play today. Because, you know, like, the key things now is for Holland, the Young doesn't play all the games in Barcelona. Memphis Depay doesn't play all the games. But those are the key guys in Holland. You know, like, you look at the Memphis, the Young, Van Dijk, they are the spine of the team. And I think regardless if they don't play at their club, they have to play for Holland. Why? Because this is out and out the best three players that I call in that squad. So they have to play. And I know it sounds really crucial because I don't like people being selected if you don't play at your team. But sometimes, guys, and I say that in Holland too, they do that sometimes. You got to step away from the norm because you got to just select. If you're good enough, play him because you need him. It's not anymore like Holland is in the luxury and say like, oh, we got a country with, you know, like the size of Brazil or America or, you know. No, we don't have that size, guys. We come from a 17 million people country, so we should be happy that we got top talents like them too.
For Frank, who regularly speaks about winning the World Cup, well, that's a very fair statement to start with.
When did I say that?
Do you regret, Frank, not winning the Champions League? Would you have made a different career choice looking back in order to achieve this?
Well, there is a regret. In 1999, we reached this quarterfinal of the Champions League and we lost against Barcelona on extra time. And I think Gianluca made the last change and made Bernard Lambert coming in, but he didn't know who he had to mark in the corner kick. And I shout to him, Mark Dani, and it was the 90th minute, and he didn't hear me. And then he scored, and they collided and went on extra time, lost Babayaro on red card, and lost 5-1. And we got back to the dressing room, and we were so upset because we all thought that that year where Manchester United won the Champions League would have been able to do so as well, and maybe win that Champions League. Otherwise, I never had the chance to be in a big club in my life. Chelsea was on his ascendance, but never thought about playing the Champions League when I signed for them, and so I didn't have a lot of game to play with the Champions League. But I won 10 titles in my career. I won the Cup Winners' Cup, I won the Super Cup, but I never had the chance to win the Champions League. But I never won a championship as well. I didn't win the Premier League because I think Chelsea didn't have the all the tools to do so. But I played in a good club. I made Chelsea, I guess, well, we made Chelsea being better with Mario, with some other players, many other players. But I think Chelsea reached the top when Abramovich came and saw some other players with top level. But I don't have regrets. I think I've been fortunate to win so many titles, so many things, so many titles. But it's not a regret. The only time it was in 99, I thought we could have done better, but that's part of our life of footballers.
10 titles, everyone, in case you weren't listening. 10 titles for Frank.
Yeah. That won't come up again.
Yeah, that'll be repeated again.
It's not a bad thing.
Yesterday, Dan
and I won
Don
the World Cup. In case you didn't know, I won the World Cup.
Yes, we... we know, Frank. Don't
and
worry.
And you had dinner at the Eiffel Tower.
And free dinner at the Eiffel Tower.
And you have dinner for free at the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. And you got a book out.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you got a sneakers deal.
And you got a fancy home with a fancy roof.
Yeah.
You have a fancy roof too, yeah.
When I came to Chelsea, he did shock me, though. I have to say that. I remember coming into the dressing room, open the door, and see maybe three World Cup winners in the dressing room. Frank Leboeuf.
Yeah.
Desailly. And Didier Deschamps. They're sitting in there, and I walk in, and I'm a young boy of 21 years old, trying to compete at that time with Didier Deschamps and Albert Ferrer for a position into the starting 11. And I was like, wow, this is real life. Okay, let's go. But they
Very
all won
cool.
it. They won exactly what we all wanted to win. We all wanted to win it.
Yeah. And was Frank
and
nice to you,
it.
Mario?
It
did he talk to you?
Well.
Were you allowed to look him in the eye?
Yes, yes. Frank was nice to me. I never had any problems with anybody of the team. You know, like I was a young boy. I had to learn from the guys that were in the game already way ahead of me. I learned a lot from them. I played with Frank. But the thing was, what was really key for me is that they made you felt welcome. I didn't feel like anybody was like making me feel like, well, what are you doing? No, I never felt
Dan,
that.
Dan, you have to say that in the dressing room, we were like 8 players per dressing room because you had like 4 or 5 dressing rooms. So we were with Mario and the I think the Dario is talking
George
about.
George Weah.
Yeah, we had George Weah, we had Dan Petrescu, I think, and we had Jimmy Floyd and De Roy. I think De Roy, and I'm wondering if Bogard was still there. And the only thing, we loved them because they were very nice people. But you know, every time we were looking at each other, George, myself, Didier, and Marcel, because when they were talking to each other with their languages, you know, with the language, the Dutch, it's like they were insulting each other while they were talking nicely to each other. Yeah. But that was very strange for us. But they were talking more than me. When Craig is saying that I was talking a lot, you should have heard, you know, Jimmy Floyd, I said, I'm talking to Mario Mailcott, who talked to De Roy. That was something. That was really something.
I was believing that story up until Frank said they talk more than him.
Yeah, that's something.
You had me hooked. And then you go and say they were talking more than you. And
yesterday, Dan and Don had an argument on Kane wanting to win trophies or break Shearer's record. What would you want? A record to your name or a trophy?
A trophy. We've had this discussion time and time again. This is a team sport.
Well, it's Don. Don talking nonsense, isn't it?
It's Don.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Did the panel... Oh, this is right up your street, Mario, with your music ways. Did the panel listen to music before a big game for motivation? And who is your favourite music artist back in your playing days? Did you just listen to yourself, Mario? You're singing on repeat.
I didn't have music like that, but let me tell you something. When I joined Chelsea, you had the team there, but they had that speaker. They put it in the middle, and I was like, I just came from Ajax. We didn't have Ajax. So I come to Chelsea, they put the speaker on, and they played. At that time was Donald Jones was coming, and they blew it up. Oh, man, you hear, ooh, say what, you know? Oh, man. Guys, let me not get into singing, because singing I'm not good at. But I remember those times. And I end up being buddies with him, so I thank him for that. But that music, oh, man, guys, yeah. Oh. That motivated you. You like it. If you didn't like it, then you walk out of the dressing room, but you had nothing to say, because the majority of the team like hearing music. So then you just join in.
Wait, Mario, you said you're not a good singer. What role did you play in the single that you released then?
Oh, yeah, I was trying, but I wasn't good then. I'm sorry, man.
A very honest critique.
Let's not bring that up.
I want to bring it up.
A very honest critique.
Did you write the lyrics as well?
Listen, let's say it like this. I managed to live a life how an artist lived it, you know, go to the studio, record, go on TV. So I went on the biggest show in Holland, dancing, kids show, everything. But I tell you honestly, my friend, I was happy when it was over, because we came in the top 100, but I was happy to jump out, because music and singing, clearly I was a footballer, because that's my singing, and it didn't work.
It came in the top 100. What place was it at, Mario?
In Holland only, not in Holland, my friend. We made it to Holland. We didn't go outside yet, but we were in Holland.
Frank, you haven't released a single yet. You've done everything else.
What you mean? According to your question, do you want me to answer?
You did the Masked Singer, didn't you, as well?
I did the Masked Singer. I didn't take lessons because I'm naturally gifted, you know, and I can sing fantastically.
Frank, you can do a lot, but then you could not do.
Oh, brilliant. We've run out of time. That is it. Thank you very much, Frank. I've got to look at Mario's single on Spotify. Top 100 in Holland. What a moment. We will be back tomorrow for more. Shaq, you could release a single?
Not by tomorrow.
I don't know. We can rush it together. We'll be back here, of course, look back at the US against Japan.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.